Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and I'll be concluding the book of 1 Kings with you today. It's been amazing being with you so far. I want to thank you for joining me and for making us a part of your journey of getting to know the Word of God deeper. You know, studying the Old Testament can sometimes be a little bit disorienting. Unless we continually look at the Old Testament through the lenses of the New Testament, we can often divorce ourselves from the underlying message of the whole book. The underlying message of the book is Jesus. Jesus is the prophet that Moses spoke about, that would be risen up from among your people, a prophet like Moses. He was the blessing given to Abraham. He was the king that would come from David's line, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was the joy of the prophets. He would be the poetry in motion that the Hebrew writers penned when they put papyrus reed to paper. He was David's muse. He was Ezekiel's vision. He was Daniel's prophesied kingdom that would have no end. I hope that during our journey, you've remembered the grace of God behind everything. We ended last chapter by seeing Ahab being given mercy because he made the slightest bit of effort to humble himself before God. That's the God we worship, not an angry God, not a harsh God. Although this God that we're reading about, hey, he doesn't just gum people into the kingdom. Sometimes he's got teeth. And let's be honest, sometimes we need a 2x4 to smack us in the head to get us to pay attention. But behind it all is a God who loves us, whose heart beats for us, who chose to create the world knowing the pain and suffering simply because he didn't want it to exist without us. Imagine God spending all eternity without you. That was the motive for him creating the world. That was the reason he took a chance on humanity despite the fall. And it's the reason he sent his beloved Son to die for every single one of us, and eventually sent his Holy Spirit to keep the mission going through his church. That's the big picture, and our story's not done in 1 Kings. In fact, we'll pick up the narrative, complete with Elijah and Elisha, in the next book. But before we do that, let's close out the book of 1 Kings by diving into chapter 22. Chapter 22 centers around Jehoshaphat. Now, it's important that you know that in pop culture, many people have used his name as an expletive. The first character to use this name as an expletive was Yosemite Sam, Jumpin' Josaphat, as he would say, mispronouncing it. But then in 1966, we see Robin on the Batman film saying, Jumpin' Jehoshaphat, Batman. And then finally in McHale's Navy, Lieutenant Commander McHale says, Great Jumpin' Jehoshaphat. What does this have to do with the Bible? Absolutely nothing. But they did ask me, Peyton Jones, to do this, and if you've ever read any of my books, they're replete with pop culture. I just can't ignore it. Verse 2 tells us, In the third year, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went down to see the king of Israel. Now, notice it says he went down. You'll always see this in the scripture. Whenever it talks about Jerusalem, it talks about going down. Even though the northern kingdom to us is up, it's a reference to the elevation of Jerusalem, the city on a hill. Its elevation was far taller than the surrounding regions. Therefore, it talks about him going down. And in a sense, by partnering up with the king of Israel, he was going down. The passage continues. The king of Israel had said to his officials, Don't you know that Ramoth-Gilead belongs to us, and yet we're doing nothing to retake it from the king of Aram? So he asked Jehoshaphat, Will you go with me to fight against Ramoth-Gilead? Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, I am as you are. My people is your people. My horses is your horses. But Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, First, seek the counsel of the Lord. So the king of Israel brought together the prophets, about 400 men, and asked them, Shall I go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain? Go, they answered, for the Lord will give it into the king's hand. But Jehoshaphat asked, Is there no longer a prophet of the Lord here we can inquire of? The king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, There is still one prophet through whom we can inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me, but always bad. He's Micaiah, son of Imlah. The king should not say such a thing, Jehoshaphat replied. Jumpin' Jehoshaphat, he exclaimed. No, I made that part up. So the king of Israel called one of his officials and said, Bring Micaiah, son of Imlah, at once. Dressed in their royal robes, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones at the threshing floor by the entrance of the gate of Samaria, with all the prophets prophesying before them. Now Zedekiah of Kenah had made iron horns, and he declared, "This is what the Lord says, with these you will gore the Arameans until they are destroyed." Nee! Nee! Okay, now this is a laugh-out-loud moment. This false prophet has actually forged iron horns. He's trying so hard to give a positive message to the king. Jehoshaphat ain't buying it. He knows that all of these messengers are wrong. Even though these guys are putting forth a good effort, knocking themselves out to impress the king, going to great lengths and great amounts of drama, Jehoshaphat sees right through it. Verse 12, all the other prophets were prophesying the same thing. Attack Ramoth Gilead and be victorious, they said, for the Lord will give it into the king's hand. The messenger who had gone to summon Micaiah said to him, "Look, the other prophets without exception are predicting success for the king. Let your word agree with theirs and speak favorably." But Micaiah said, "As surely as the Lord lives, I can only tell what the Lord tells me." When he arrived, the king asked, "Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead or not?" "Attack and be victorious," he answered, "for the Lord will give it to the king's hand." The king said to him, "How many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" Then Micaiah answered, "All right. I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These people have no master. Let each one go home in peace.'" Then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Didn't I tell you he never prophesies anything good about me, only bad?" Micaiah continued, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the multitudes of heaven, standing around him on his right and his left. And the Lord said, 'Who will entice Ahab into attacking Ramoth Gilead and going to his death there?' One suggested this and another that. Finally, a spirit came forward, stood before the Lord and said, 'I will entice him.' 'By what means?' the Lord asked. 'I will go out and be a deceiving spirit in the mouths of all his prophets,' he said. 'You will succeed in enticing him,' said the Lord. 'Go and do it.' So now the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouths of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has decreed disaster for you." Then Zedekiah, son of Kenah, went up and slapped Micaiah in the face. "Which way did the spirit from the Lord go when he went from me to speak to you?" he asked. Micaiah replied, "You'll find out on the day you go hide in an inner room." And that's how prophets lay the smack down on people that smack them on the face. Well, this ends poorly for Micaiah, but it ends even more poorly for Ahab, who's killed at Ramoth Gilead. Ahab thinks he can outsmart God by wearing a disguise into battle, but he's sure to tell Jehoshaphat, "Hey, make sure you wear your kingly robes." Ahab thinks if he doesn't look like the king, he won't be a worthy target. But one of the archers drew his bow at random, loosed an arrow, and it just happened, quote-unquote, to hit Ahab in between his pieces of armor. The dead king was brought home in his chariot, and there they hosed it off in a place where the prostitutes bathed, and the dogs licked up his blood that dripped out of the chariot, fulfilling the prophecy that Elijah had made to him after Naboth's vineyard. Thus, as evil King Ahab dies in fulfillment of prophecy, we also see Jehoshaphat die. And it says about his reign, he was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 25 years. In everything he followed the ways of his father, Asa, and did not stray from them. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. The high places, however, were not removed, and the people continued to offer sacrifices and burn incense. We're told that the two kings are succeeded by their sons, but we'll have to wait for 2 Kings chapter 1 to find out whether they're good kings or bad kings. Thanks for joining me for Through the Word, and we'll see you in 2 Kings.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.